You're sat at your first corporate event, clutching your coffee like a lifeline. The incessant buzz of conversation hovering around you makes your head feel like it's about to explode. You know networking is key to your career. You've seen it all over LinkedIn and you hear it from professionals and business people alike. But where do you start? How do you build connections when the idea feels so foreign? Today, we are joined by private equity and corporate finance professional, deal executive, and CASA at the Unicorn Factory, Tlhogi Dube. We chat about how he has built his business and life network in fun, interesting, and practical ways, and how you can too. We also chat about skills you need to become a private equity professional, his experience in the UK as an investment banking professional, selling lessons from his sales experience selling Wi-Fi door to door, the struggle of feeling fulfilled in professional services, and more. I hope you enjoy. My travelers on the road to CASA. Guys, I really hope you enjoyed Private Equity Month. I hope it was a great learning experience. I hope it inspired some of you to consider maybe venturing off into this private equity industry. If you haven't already, please check out Naira's interview, which is absolutely incredible. The last three episodes, just go check those out. This one is about to be a banger to end off Private Equity Month. I'm going to drop you guys right into the conversation that I'm having with Tlhogi right now. At the moment, we're chatting about what skills are required to become a private equity professional. And so, let's get into it. You mentioned IB experience, consulting experience. Are there any specific skills that a student can work on while they're studying, or you don't think?
Yeah, there is, right? Like, I think, and maybe I might be a bit biased, but the biggest skill you can work on is what's going to be the reason why you want to do this, right? And yeah, the degree is a degree. Mm-hmm. Do a finance degree, you can do an engineering degree, according to me. And then you can learn finance skills and pick them up. But then it's could be fundamentally be, okay, what is your understanding of business and processes and models and all of that? And you can expose yourself to that just reading books, maybe. Mm. You can expose yourself to that by spending time in businesses. You can even expose yourself to that by actually investing in businesses, right? And I think I shared with you earlier on that I started a small little business when I was in varsity, and we were selling t-shirts and hoodies and all sorts of stuff like that. But that sort of stuff speaks for you in moments where you might want to explore those types of opportunities. Mm. For me, it did. And it shows that you have a little bit of, you have a proper interest in this, right? And you can, I don't know, maybe I think you can help yourself tell your own story. Because I think even what I'm describing now, I don't think is the only way. And it might, from a student listening to this, they might be like, what, you're not giving me an answer, you know, but that's the truth of it, right? I think it's more focus on the core skills, right? Core finance, that's non-negotiable. Core attention to detail, non-negotiable. Core communication, non-negotiable. Mm. That's core. Mm. Everything else you can build upon. Mm. And yeah, varsity is early, and I would encourage anybody in varsity, explore more. There's a lot more in the world than what you think. Even if you think there's a lot more.
Yeah,
I'm learning that right now, where I've gone from being more industry, being very general, being more of a generalist in a way. Then I went to UK and we focused on industrial companies, which is very focused, and then now kind of got into a little bit of a focus where we focus on digital infrastructure and services. Mm. And I'm learning about a whole industry with all types of different types of opportunities, all types of different things happening, with all different types of people working in there. And it's a world on its own, and I'm enjoying it because I'm learning, right? And yeah, like that's the part, like with when it comes to young students, I'll be like, hey, I know the pressure of being in university and maybe being excited to leave university and going to work, but a part of me also say, don't be in too much of a rush. A university is actually a great place to learn a lot.
Yeah.
And I'll encourage you to, one, participate in all types of things that exist at a university, whether it's committees and clubs and all that. Participate. Even if it's something as stupid as the archery club. Might sound stupid. I'm sorry if you do archery, but do it.
Yeah.
Reason why I say do it, you're going to meet all types of different types of human beings who are your peers, your age mates. And they're going to go on to do all types of different things which are not things you can explore, but you can at least have a shared experience based on the stories they will tell you. And depending on what you're doing, you can always call upon them for sometimes advice or sometimes for access to an opportunity. And that's valuable, people. And again, participate in the university, go to the careers center, bug them, tell them what you want to do. And those ladies and those men who work there will, it's their job. They will assist you for free. You don't have to wait until you're on your own and you have to be on the internet and you have to be searching and, you know, and all that sort of stuff. Those people have the relationships with all those different companies you're going to work for, because those companies call them looking for people like you. So take advantage of that. Again, university has a lot of free access to resources. We laugh at the libraries. We laugh at the science labs. We laugh at that sort of stuff. Test yourself and go. What are the other things that you don't know about that space? And whilst you're there, take advantage of it as much as you can. Go make friends in different parts of the university where you don't necessarily spend time. You can be a commerce student. It's very easy to spend all your time with commerce people. Why don't you go spend time with people who are doing dramatic arts? Why not? Do you not think that they're going to need a commerce person? Do you not think you're going to need a creative person? You get what I'm trying to say? Utilize university for that. Test yourself, explore, make mistakes. It doesn't matter. That's how I view it. I think I had a great university experience. I wish there was more I could have done, but I'm human. There's only so many hours, right? So, yeah, like that's what I would encourage somebody at university to do. Of course, right? Like some people find themselves in different circumstances and this might sound like a luxury to do, right? Oh, no, I've got a scholarship. I can't screw this up. I need to make sure that I get the best marks to keep the scholarship to stay in university so that I can change the situation I come from back home. And I understand that. But at the same time, I think don't cheat yourself at exploring something else. Like exploring doesn't necessarily mean spending all your time doing that. Just means that every now and then create time to go do something else. Because you have enough time to watch series. You have enough time to do this. You have enough time to do that.
Yeah.
So create time for that stuff too. And you'll see how later on in life, those things you might not make sense at the time, but may become useful. When you're with a particular audience and you can identify with that person of, oh no, you're an archery champion. I went for an archery class once. And how it's conversation.
Yeah.
It sounds funny, but I found life to be like that a lot. Where I can sit there, not identify with somebody, have a little bit of a conversation, and we can find something to relate on. And I believe maybe in business, people a lot of the time want to do business with people that they like. Is it right? Is it wrong? Might be, but
it is what it is, man.
It is what it is, right? And
yeah.
I've done it time and time again in my professional career and also in my own personal stuff where I've been lucky enough to get into opportunities, not because maybe I even needed to be there. But somebody maybe took a liking for me. Like one of my mentors now, he's a... I wasn't called them mentors. I call them mentors maybe because they're older than me, but it's not the truth. He's my friend, right? But he's a great guy. He's a chairman of a listed mining company called Mkango Resources. It's listed on the AIM and on the Toronto Exchange. So it's more like small cap listing, right? And he's a long-time lawyer. Very interesting story. He's a teacher for 10 years of his life. And then he became a lawyer. And he did well doing that. And now he's doing this. And me and him used to catch up quite a lot when I was still living in London, where once a month we'd have a dinner. And we'd sit and I'd tell him about my life and what's going on. And he'll tell me about his life.
Is he in the UK?
Yeah, still in the UK now.
Okay.
And he'll give me perspective just because of our age gap, right? Like, this is a man in his 60s. I'm in my 20s, right? Perspective.
Yeah.
Which I always appreciate. But yeah. It creates a friendship. But also, he vicariously also living through me. He's like, what are you guys doing? You're doing this, you're doing that. But great, great person, right? Mm. But again, with him, what's been great is he's been able to introduce me to things which I would have never thought existed as opportunities, right? And he presented them to me at the time when I was looking for different roles and trying to do something different. I just didn't take them because I wasn't sure about them, and makes sense now. But that's the point, right?
Like, yeah,
here's somebody who's deliberately introducing different things to me. And the funny thing is, think about it. He's a Canadian man who grew up in actually like parts of Newfoundland in Canada, like north.
Yeah.
I bumped into him in the city of London and we became friends. I spoke to him yesterday. Mm. Like, that's...
You just bumped into him. Okay, but how did you relate?
Oh, he spent some time in South Africa in the 90s. So again, he was a mining lawyer. He used to work for Royal Bank of Canada. So he advised all the big mining guys that you know today, Patrice, all of them. So that was the first thing. So he knew South Africa. So he relates on that. And then here's a funny thing. I actually don't like wine. He likes wine a lot. But I knew just enough about wine to tell him about what I would recommend for him. And then, we kicked it off that.
Sure.
And then I think I'm very much intentional with when he came, especially when I was in the UK, it was a big thing where I didn't have a network. I didn't have a lot of... I had friends who were my peers, but those are my friends, right? But I didn't have a work network to rely on. And I was very eager to bring more opportunities in terms of my role, right?
Mm.
That's even though I was later told to stop it. But anyway, but it's... Sure.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, but it's something that was an innate desire to do, right? Mm. And I would put myself in different environments. I wouldn't complain and say, oh, no, but I don't know anyone, right? I was like, okay, go online. There's a Chamber of Commerce event. I go to a Chamber of Commerce event, and I sit and I listen. Oh, no, I use UCT as an alumni stuff that they were doing in the UK. I'd attend all that stuff.
Mm.
I would go to Eventbrite events where, like, they're hosting a seminar on AI and whatever. Just went, right? I use my Saturday or half my Saturday to do that, right? That was a way for me to build up new relationships. I like it now because I can tap into different pockets of people very quickly. Some I know well, some I don't know really well, but I met once. But I'm able to tap into it and explore an idea or explore an opportunity or sometimes pass an opportunity to someone. I have nothing to do with it. I don't want nothing to do with it, but I know you and you want to do something. Bye and good luck. It's none of my business. But that's it. I just also wanted to also be helpful to others, like genuinely helpful. And then what ends up happening vicariously, people call you for a lot of stuff. And sometimes it's like, no. Like, I've got a friend who like probably sends me like a deck every week. And I have to tell him like, no.
Yeah.
No. But he at least he's always trying.
That's interesting.
You know, but that's kind of it. And it's still early
for pitch decks.
Yeah, pitch decks of different things he's seeing. And but when I ask him questions, where are you finding this? Like, then he doesn't can't answer properly. But that's the best. I have a bit of a problem with it. But like, it's still very early, like, to be quite honest with you. But I think that's where I kind of want to go. I want to take this little engine that I'm creating and add a little bit more to it and put a little bit more body to it. And hopefully it can become something useful in the future for others as well, not just for myself.
I love the way you think about a network. A network is an engine.
Yeah.
It's an engine. It's a flywheel at some point that if you build it big enough and you make it valuable enough, i.e. you give value to your network.
That's great.
And you foster those relationships, it actually becomes this life of its own.
Great.
It becomes its own asset.
No, it becomes its own asset and it feeds itself. And you don't
feeds itself.
And the thing is, it doesn't have to be a chore. Like, I don't find it to be a chore. I don't find it to be intimidating as well. Like, I think I've had so many awkward moments with this sort of stuff that I'd laugh at myself today. Here's a funny one you're going to laugh at. When I was in university, so, you know, they usually host a lot of different types of business events at the ICC, I mean, CTICC there in Cape Town.
Okay.
So there was some business conference, SA Business, whatever. So I saw this stuff again online. There's talk. He's like, I'm a student, eh? So I have no business at the time. Like, nothing. Not even the t-shirt thing we're doing. Like, I have nothing.
Yeah.
But I want to go. It costs money to go.
Ish.
I'm like, damn it. I don't have money to pay for this thing. So what I do, I emailed the organizers.
Yo.
And I said, I want to go. I'm a student at the University of Cape Town. He said, sure, here's a ticket. So I got in. So I'm like, okay, I didn't think this through. I've got a ticket, now what? Okay, I've got a little jacket and a tie and a shirt. Okay, put that together. And at the time, I thought I needed a business card. Sounds stupid, but I thought I did. I didn't need it. But went and got, like, went online, went on Canva, actually. Went on Canva, drew a little business card, put my name on it, my number, my email, my Gmail. Everything at the back, I put an emoji. Like, it's, but again, it was meant to be funny, right? And put it on that. Then I went to the conference, and yeah, like, I just met people and all types of things like that, and like saw different businesses, different stands, like what people were doing. Like, I listened to some of the conference. I think Trevor Manuel even spoke there. Like, there's a lot of stuff happening. And I was so happy that I spent my day like that. I should have been in my lectures, but I wasn't. But I was there. And I don't know. I think I enjoyed it. But it was also embarrassing at moments where you're greeting people and people would ask you what you're doing. And because you didn't have anything to offer, they would walk away, right?
Ew.
I was like, oh, wow.
Sure.
But I don't know. I just, it's like, in the moment, it sucks, right?
People don't know how to network. For me, that just speaks to a lot of how... That was such, just people going to you, coming to you, finding you that you don't have anything and leaving. It speaks to something that a lot of people miss in networking. When you network for an opportunity, opportunities run away. Because if now you're in front of that guy who's got that opportunity, you're going to act all
different. You're not going to be yourself.
You're not going to be yourself.
And it comes out very quickly. And that's the funny part about all of this. I think the most interesting people I've ever spent time with or been able to convert an opportunity with are the people who I was just myself with. That's the funny part, because I've also been there where you're trying really, really hard and it's just not going to work. And I think at the time, around that same time I was at that thing, I met a gentleman who just took interest in me and asked me, what am I doing? I explained to him, and he found it really interesting that I'm that interested in just business. And we later on, we went out for breakfast. We just got along. And then a friend of mine had a product that he was selling called like Revelard. It was like meant to be like these bracelets that track people when they're running, and it's got a panic button and all of that. And I mentioned what my friend is doing. And he's like, oh no, bring your friend. So I brought my friend and we ended up selling my friend's product.
Oh wow!
And then I got a commission for that, but that's what happened. Wasn't intended to happen, but again, unintentional stuff just led to one conversation to another, and we just continued like that. Other ones was at a point I used to sell Wi-Fi door to door for a field marketing company that was doing it for Vumatel, and we used to knock on people's doors.
Sure,
and yeah, that's hard. you knock on someone's door and you tell them awkwardly, "Hey, can I sell you Wi-Fi?"
Sure.
You know, it sounds very obvious now, but back then it wasn't, right? And you get a lot of no's, you get a lot of maybes, you get a lot of get out of my yard. But after a while, you then realize people are just nice. Because not everyone behaves like that. And some people are just awkward. And you also learn the nuances of South Africa. And it might, I don't know, sometimes some of this stuff is not like, a lot of people don't like mentioning it, but it's the truth into how decisions are made. Especially financial decisions, because like a Wi-Fi is a financial decision, right?
It's a financial decision.
And you knock at a door, and this is in Cape Town, and you open the door and it'll be a lady who even tells you like, oh, I'm a doctor,
yeah,
professional doctor lady. And she's like, hey, I really like what you're selling. And I think we really do have a need for this in the house. Because at the time, the telecom ADSL line stuff wasn't working well. So we'd obviously say, no, the telecom stuff's not working well. So buy our product, you know. And they were like, okay, sure. But can you come back when my husband is home? You see what that is. And some people might find that to be, oh, no, why couldn't she make a decision? But I'm like, it's just how her household works. And it also taught us in terms of the how to sell. So then we knew when we're in certain communities which have that type of a family setup and that's how their values work, we would ask. We'd say, hey, how are you? Good to see you, ma'am. Is your husband home? Is it possible for us to tell you both something? And that helps a lot.
Yeah.
Because they then smile. They're like, no, go fetch him. You go fetch him. I've had cook sisters. I've, you know, a lot of things at people's houses. Trying to just sell like a package of 700 rand per month. But yeah, we did it. And we then took it even further and we organized other kids from the university to also come and sell. And we're making commission off them as well. And it was me and that friend again. And we enjoyed it. And then at some point we had to get serious about PGDA and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And get back in line. But again, that's what made us do the whole t-shirt company as well, because we then got bored. We're like, there has to be something else we can do with our time. Yeah, we can do our, go to accounting lectures. We can do all that stuff. But we felt that we had more time. You know what I mean? So that's what made us now decide that we're going to make golf shirts for a golf day. And that led to a whole different 3-year journey of building a little small business that was manufacturing clothes for schools and for corporates and stuff. But again, a little bit of success out of that, a little bit of a windfall out of that. And then a lot of learnings as well, like how to do taxes. You get taught what to do, the most complicated tax stuff at university, but you're not really taught how to do a tax return.
Yeah, you don't file things.
File things. Yeah. But then it's boring, but you do it. We did that, putting together financials, you know, managing ourselves, managing cash flow in a business, you know, and all of that. Learning all of that. That helped for going into articles and being able to understand some of the nuances. What happens in certain businesses, what happens in organizations. Also fights. Me and my partner, we fought as well. But not in a bad way. We had friction. Disagreements. And being able to understand that disagreements are just part of life. A lot of people run away when there's a disagreement, you know, or don't want to stand up for themselves, not for what they think, not for themselves really, more what they think at that point in time. It's okay if somebody else like says you're wrong, and you must articulate yourself and express why you think you're right and find a way to make it work. And if it doesn't work and if it's such a bad thing, then yeah, you can decide how you walk away, right? But that it needs to get there. But if it's not there, it's okay to disagree. So all of that stuff, again, it's just learnings, and it's things that you don't intentionally look for, but they find you, and later on you then go, oh, okay, I get it, you know? And like, yeah, so that's just the one part of it in terms of the business stuff.
TLDR, explore, I think. Because now it was all the exploring that on the edges of all these things that you were doing, you were gaining these experiences, you were gaining these networks, and you were gaining all this exposure and ideas. And
correct.
It's sort of, and coming back to that idea around the originals that we were chatting about, I have this idea around creativity. And I sort of say creativity is simply a function of connecting dots. You have one idea and another idea, and you connect them. We think about creativity as this thing of creating something that's never been. But like, oftentimes it's literally just taking two things that may have been seemingly unrelated and connecting them in a, I guess, novel way. But it's like the idea of pioneering low cost, you know, like having a low cost strategy, right?
Yeah.
To monopolize a market. That's not new. It's just in this specific market, it's never been done. And so that's creativity. It's connecting two ideas.
Also, there's also a little bit of, and I keep using the word serendipity.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of that that we don't want to acknowledge, right? I maybe personally feel that like all of us do get serendipity in our lives, right? We get lucky. But we create our luck.
You create it.
By your hard work and your initiative and your this. And then you just, sometimes you're just there at the right place at the right time. Mm. And it goes back to what you're saying about utilizing maybe a particular strategy or creating a particular product or whatever. Sometimes it's about timing. And timing, which is why when I said being original, sometimes doesn't mean you guarantee the windfall. Remember that statement I made earlier? And the reason why I made that is because a lot of people think that, oh no, because I'm original, oh, that means if I create something new, I'm guaranteed X and Y. It doesn't work like that. No. Some of the most inventive people like didn't make any money out of it.
Yeah.
And because those two things I think are very different.
Yeah.
You see it a lot of the times with in the music industry where people often say, why are artists broke and they're not making money off royalties and this and that, and they're being cheated. I think a bit different about it because they are the creator in a certain extent, right? You're the one singing on the song. You're the one maybe mixing the music. But that's only one part of it, right? That's the product that you helped create. But distributing it is a whole different thing.
Yeah.
Protecting it in terms of the IP and legally and all that's a whole different thing. Marketing it is a whole different thing. And you can't say to me that those other different roles are also not important. And they also not they're also not entitled to a windfall of what was created. Because if it was just about you just creating it, if you were a one-man show or one-woman show and you created it and you get it all. But a lot of them end up not getting a windfall out of it, mostly because maybe contracts, you don't have an understanding of contracts. You're excited about having the opportunity to sing and for other people to know about it, right? And that kind of creates that issue, right? And then also, there's another nuance to it where it's expected that because you might have created something that was big 10 years ago, it means that you'll be perpetually wealthy for the rest of your life. Don't think it works like that, right? That's a whole different thing, right? It might have been special then, but it came with costs by then, right? And it doesn't mean now it has a life now because the world's moved on and is interested in other stuff.
Yeah.
So that's the thing about creativity that sometimes people might be a little bit not necessarily careful about, but just have an understanding.
Just understand it.
You can invent the thing, but okay, now what? The whole, I think maybe for me, the beauty comes in being able to see it through.
Yeah.
But you're not going to see it through alone. Other people need to participate in your journey.
Think about like the whole, you know, that value creation diagram, the one with the six capitals, inputs.
Yeah.
You have the process, you have your enterprise, and you have the valuable output, right? In any situation, your creation, in the case of the musician example, it's one part of the value creation equation. It's one part and
important,
but very important. One part. Very important. Mm. I mean, we wouldn't have anything.
You wouldn't have anything. You wouldn't have a product if there's no one to see, right?
But it's one part. It's like how, and remember when you were in that environment where you didn't feel like you could see your work being purposeful when you were isolated. I think a lot of that lack of fulfillment comes from, in some ways, not understanding where you are in the value chain.
Not true. I would agree. There was a lot of that, not understanding of where I am in the value chain, or maybe not resonating with it.
Not feeling it. Not feeling it. And like, you know, it's so tough in professional services. I think that's why it's particularly prevalent in professional services. Because in professional services, like when you consult, like you don't feel like...
There's no physical thing.
Like where's the product? You know what I'm saying? Like you've just had a chat and you've obviously given value, but it's like, what impact have I made?
No, that's the thing. I think the sad thing about professional services, I think the impact probably sometimes takes time. Or the value is actually sometimes in you. I think a lot of professionals often maybe want to see the value in them getting paid and rewarded. And I agree, like you must get rewarded for what you do. But don't forget, you are the secret sauce.
Mm.
And sometimes a certain experience is you investing yourself.
Mm.
And it's up to you how you reposition yourself for something else.
Mm.
And reposition yourself, it could be for a career, right? You're in this thing for the long haul.
Mm.
And you're going to collect different experiences and different exposures and different things, some good, some bad, in order to enhance your earning potential, right? Naively, so I think a lot of younger people, often the world is tough and they want certain things and all that, but they often think that they're going to earn the most of their money now. I find that funny.
I find that really, really funny
because
wow.
I think maybe I've been telling you about all the other people that I know, the older people and all of them, and I'm taking their advice seriously. A lot of them sometimes very honest and like, hey, I didn't see a proper windfall for my career until I was like 36, 40. 37, 40. Yeah. Some of them even say I was in my 50s.
Yeah.
But then you're like, but now it just happens. They're like, yeah. It happens.
Yeah.
And they have different, all of them have different reasons of it, right? But they literally saying it like quite honestly enough, and they say, hey, I make more money now in a year than I made my whole life.
20s,
right? You know. And some of them 30s. Are in business, some of them are not in business. Some of them are literally smack bang professionals who in a suit or in whatever, and they go to their job. So you then look at it that way, and then you say, okay, then what do you want to do with your youth? Would you rather use your youth to moan and groan, or would you rather use it to, okay, get what you need to survive and thrive and have a little bit more, but at the same time, use it to, I think, explore and pick your journey, because you don't, and also use it to change your mind because you're allowed to.
Yeah, man.
And as you get older as well, don't also be scared to change your mind then too. Of course, there'll be trade-offs.
Other things that you have to factor in.
Yeah, if you factor in the trade-offs, but you only have one life, man. And you'd rather live it unhappy or live it as happy as you can. As you can be. But I'd rather choose that than choose just being miserable. Because I think I went through an instance when I was miserable and I didn't know.
Sure, that's dangerous.
Man. Yeah. I didn't know and I was like, I'm never going back there again. Because I think I spent enough of my life not to have an experience like that. Where I've had tough situations, really tough. But not one where I was like, yo, I don't like this. You know? But it wasn't long enough for me to say it affected me badly. But it just was a reminder that I must just always choose what I want. And if I make a mistake, it's okay. Because I think that's the thing. Maybe I'm being a bit harsh on myself. A lot of my friends and colleagues say I'm a bit hard on myself for that, but it's just me, right? And I don't put it on anybody else.
Put it on myself. It's serving you, you know. It's serving you. I think there's always trade-offs with everything, and you know, people are like, "Hey, dude, you must rest. You must rest. It's holidays." I could be like, yeah, I need to rest. But at the end of the day, you know, I've chosen this path. I've chosen to suffer in these ways, not out of masochism or anything like that, but because that's my choice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's my choice.
Have you considered taking? And I think maybe we'll chat about this after your podcast. Maybe let's leave it there.
Cool.
But remind me. I just want to
something on that thing. Okay, you know what? I think it's that time. Chloe, if you could go back.
Yes.
To first year, second year, maybe even high school you.
Yes.
What would you tell him?
Oh, different things.
Hmm.
I think I'll tell high school me to not be afraid and just try harder. I'll tell first year me that you are right to change. To continue.
Well done.
I'll tell second year me to continue exploring. You could have explored a little bit more. And I'll tell third year me to have slowed down and maybe concentrate on my books a little bit more. That's it, right? But overall, I don't have a lot of... not that I don't have a lot. I don't have regrets. Because there's nothing I can do about it. I can't change it.
I would say... I'd say the thread through all of that is try new things. Yeah. I think, yeah, I could say definitely in my previous few years, maybe you could have tried a little bit more in first year. Like there was COVID at my time, so
it's a bit weird, right?
It's weird, but I
started work during COVID, which is very odd, right? That's insane. I had a different experience to you, but I loved it because this is what happened, right? You sat at home. First, you all got excited. Yeah, hey, we're going home. Then I'm like, damn, this is how I'm going to start work. I'm going to miss out on all the opportunities.
Sure.
And actually, a missed call that I got now is from one of the guys I used to work with at Investec, one of the leaders there. But when I try to call him back, nice, he's a pocket dial. So I'm like, I was actually excited to chat with him, but either way. But he was one of the guys during COVID who helped me out quite a bit. He's the head of investment banking and principal investments now in SA. And what happened was during COVID, like, because we could go into the office, but not really. I started just going to the office, even though everyone was at home.
Wow.
And hoping to bump into people, and I bumped into him. And I started asking for extra work, even though he wasn't my manager or anything. He started giving me stuff to do. And again, it just kicked off a good relationship. So that's what I liked about COVID, because again, that whole thing of going against the grain.
You already knew.
Not that I knew. I got bored. I'm being honest. I got bored at home. And I was like, damn it. Is this it? This isn't fun anymore. Because it was like you'd wake up, you do your work, you're on team with your team, and then you go off and you do your work and you finish and then you email your team, and like because of the time, like things at the time, it was slow for them to sometimes give you, you know, out of sight, out of mind. That's how I used to describe it. That's it. When you're next to people and you're working, they it's easier for them to involve you in stuff. And yeah, then I just started going to the office. And for days there was no one. I'm being very honest. There was no one. Even the security guys were like, yeah, hello. They knew me. But like there's no one in the office, right? But then the rest, there had to be other restless people. I think I figured that out a bit later.
There has to be someone.
And yeah. I think the ones who are more restless are going to be the ones who, because I think different types of employees react to that whole COVID thing differently. People are like, oh, now I got more time with my kids, this. But I think the leaders in organizations struggle.
Sure.
Because from their perspective, they're quite used to reporting to people, overseeing them, all of that. So they were the most restless. And those are the people I bumped into by myself. No one else did. And I, again, naively, so I don't know who they are. Remember, I'm new in the organization. So even him, I had no clue who he was. Started just chatting, whatever. Hey, can I help you with something? Because I'm bored. I'm actually bored. And I don't want to do my stuff because it's not my time. It's Investec's time. Investec is paying me for this time.
Yeah. Wise, very wise.
Yeah.
Because now you also give your energy to the space that obviously you're employed at. And that's why you have such great goodwill there. Even after the fact.
Even after.
Because you gave yourself there.
Gave myself. But I also wanted to divorce the two. Because when it is my time.
Very wise, yeah.
It's my time. If it rings, I am not. My
that's a good mindset.
Because I gave you my time. I gave it all. Right? And yeah, the balancing of it is sometimes a bit difficult. But it that is how I felt at the time. And I think also I'm lucky enough that my dad kind of shouted at me a bit. Where he knows me and he knows his son. He knows I can get very busy grabbing other things, right? And he said to me, please, for these 3 years at Investec, can you please just focus on this job? I don't want to hear that you're now doing
this business, that business.
Or you're now doing this. And I love that he said that because it allowed me to focus. And I was going to do it, but maybe I just need somebody to repeat it. But he is right. He knew me. He's like, this one, you'll get a call here and then you're going to start participating. And then 3 months later, you're going to be calling me, asking me for advice on something. And then you're going to be like, hey, you know, you now need some money or you need a loan, you know. And then he's going to say no. And I'm like, okay, I'll go somewhere else.
You're fine.
I'm okay with that. But I let you know, you know. And I think that's the thing. And maybe before when I was in university, I think my dad was quite shocked by that little business that we started, me and my friend, because I think he just thought we're just students and we go to school. And then he saw it and he sees me packing stuff and coming to the house and we hired a bucky once and we got a bucky.
Yeah.
Like he was like, what's going on?
What are these guys doing?
So I think that's when he became a bit nervous because he's like, hey.
He knows where he can go.
he knows where I can go. Yeah. But at the time, he's like, no, man, finish the CA thing. Yeah. Don't screw it up. And I was like, don't worry, I won't screw it up. But yeah.
Explore, but don't explore too much.
Explore, but don't explore too much. Don't burn yourself.
Don't explore to the extent that your job suffers, your main hustle.
Yeah. Not even your main hustle. It's more of your what you stand for. Because here's where people get it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And again, so if you're an honest person, you stick to your word, and you do things on time, you do it to a particular quality, don't let the other things that you're possibly doing affect that. Because that's what people make a mistake with that. Like they say, oh, no, I'm doing all of these things. Right? But then you end up not doing them well, and then you end up your reputation suffering. When you could have focused on one thing and built a reputation of being a reliable person, a person who does things at a really good quality. Practice that before wanting to practice it on multiple things. Because you don't need to do that. And when you do it on multiple things, sometimes you don't have to do it yourself. Again,
oof. That's a good one.
Get a team. Work with other people. And it's fine if it works and it doesn't work out sometimes. But that will allow you to be better off. Right? And then in terms of making decisions, like I know people who've made decisions of starting working in an organization and starting another business and then it going on to become something. But sometimes, you know, you're actually allowed to do both. As long as one doesn't conflict with the other. And that's okay. You don't have to now do it because you want to become Elon Musk. Hey, like, just do it. And if you know it pays three bills, it's fine. It's okay. It's up to you, right? That's the thing. That's what I was saying the other day to you and saying entrepreneurship and all that. Anyone can be an entrepreneur. You don't always have to be the one building the tech thing or whatever. Like, it's really up to you what you want to do with it. There's a lot of interesting people out there who actually are doing a lot of interesting things and you won't know. And they don't tell their stories because no one asks, but you find out through conversation. I think I've had enough conversations to be inspired by people that I just met yesterday.
Guys, explore. I think that's it. That's the main through line. If you are out there and you feel like you're stuck, it means maybe you need to go have a conversation with someone. It means maybe you need to get out your shell a little bit and... I think that's the prevailing one. If you have not already, please let us a brief follow this. Goodness gracious. Yo, this is fire. I hope that it does not end, but that it begins in CASA. Thank you, man.